we could go home right now and be blessed. Amen. I told you the song service was going to be different. God wants you to check your hearts. Are you truly serving Him with all of your heart? The last pictures truly did happen. He did suffer like that. And we tell him we love him, but yet we cuss, we fight with one another, we drink, we do drugs. I'm talking about the body of Christ. All right. But yet we say, Father, you know, I love you. If you love him so much, why don't you give up the world and receive him instead of giving him up and receiving the world? God's saying right now there's too much mixture in the body of Christ. Not enough standing your ground for who he is and defeating the enemy. We shouldn't have to sing songs like this and look at pictures like that in order to serve a loving Father. We should just already be so sold out to him that you won't want to give him a bad name. I really want you to think about this today. God is on the move, and he's not going to quit moving. He's not looking for people who will vacillate between heaven and earth. He's looking for people who are truly and totally, completely sold out to him. The song about grace. Yeah, you know, God does show you grace in the morning. In fact, when I was in my prayer closet this morning, God was dealing with me about something. He said, how come you show everybody else grace, but you don't show this one that same grace? Think about that. You might give somebody sitting beside you in church grace, but just let's say that somebody in your household isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you won't show them any grace. That happens a lot. We need to, we're either for God or we're against God. And if we're going to show one grace, we have to show everybody grace. God will let you know whenever you need to quit praying for that person. Let's think about this for a while. Why isn't our loved ones truly saved? Is it because they see us showing other people grace but not them? Sometimes we expect too much out of people. You know, we think that they should be there, and they're not there. And you, instead of showing them grace, you get go, you know, and God doesn't do that with us. He knows where we should be, and we're not there, and he just gives us more grace. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is sloppy grace has been preached for so long that people think they can do whatever they want to do and still go to heaven, and that's not true. The truth of God's word is not being preached behind most pulpits, and the people who preach are not living what they're preaching. And God told us, if you cannot live what you're preaching, and don't preach it behind this pulpit. See, and too many people are going out there and they're saying things that they're not living themselves. Some people don't show their own self grace, so they can't show others grace either. And that's another dark spot. I'm hearing God says it's a blemish in his body. You know, Jason Crabb, he's really, really anointed singer. His father was a preacher, brother, father. His father was an alcoholic while he was a preacher. They were raised up in church, but when they went home, it was a whole different story. So when he sings his songs, he's singing his life. And God's had me go back to way back when. Listen to old songs from then, you know, until now. And if you listen to the songs, it was what everybody was singing, what was going on in their life. really, everybody's singing. You know, way back, you know, when I was younger, I listened to those. That's what was going on in their lives. And right on up, you know, to now. And right now we're singing songs because this is what's going on in the world. And if we go back and sing songs of yesterday, you know, the people today don't understand that because they didn't live it. But right now they're living it. And we need to quit arguing about what is right and what is wrong. It takes me 4 or 5 hours. It took me 5 hours to get this song service together. You know, because you have to make sure your song service is what's good, what's going to minister to people that's going to be there. Cause, and seeing God keeps, I think something's good, might be a good song, but it's not what he wants to play this morning. Now, tonight's going to be a fast service. Yeah, you have to be walking in the Spirit if you're going to do anything. And all you guys here that are leaders, don't call yourself a leader if you don't have grace for everybody. Don't call yourself a leader if you can't take instruction, if you're unteachable. Because what you are is what you're going to pour out into the people. Are you understanding this? You and I come in here this morning, God had me come in here real happy and joyous. If you notice, I couldn't breathe. I can't breathe when I get like that. But God gives me enough breath to do what I have to do. He's God. In my life, he's God all the time. He's just not God every now and then. He's God all the time. And God has full permission to do whatever he wants to me. Because I'm his vessel. I was in heaven. We were all in heaven. Read your Bible. It's right in there. I used to teach us. We were all in heaven at one time. And God sent us down here on assignment. But we come down and act like God owes us something. And God doesn't owe us anything. It's us that owes God. And you think, well, all right, so God let me do drugs for 15 years. Then all of a sudden he wants me to quit. For those 15 years, you weren't ready yet to step into your ministry. But now God wants to use you. And now God is saying, okay, now it's time to put away those toys. Put away those sinful things that so easily beset you. And let you and I get together and let me teach you of how you should be acting in this given time. I know when I got born again, I was 50. And I said, God, I wasted 50 years. He said, no, you didn't. You were in training for those 50 years. But now you have to get real serious. I never was a sinner, and I thank God for that because I wouldn't want to go through some of the things y'all went through. But still, no, I thought I wasted my life. But all those years, I was going to church. I was bringing other people to church. I was ministering to the down and outers. I didn't know what I was doing. But my heart did. My heart that belonged to God did. My spirit man that belonged to God knew what I was doing. And he used me and he continues to use me. You know, I sent you guys for Wednesday night when that's I was praying for somebody and God gave me that song. And then he told me, you know, what to write to you all. Our God is wonderful, isn't he? When you walk through the storm. I was praying for this person. I heard when you walk through the storm, and immediately the whole song came to me. And I said, God, I know what you're saying. We have to know that when we are walking through the storm, we don't walk it alone. But how many of us act like we're alone? We don't act like God is with us at all. And each one of us in here this morning, we need to understand it. I don't care what you're going through. God is always right there with you. He is always holding your hand. He's always encouraging you. And if he's not getting through to you, he'll have somebody else encourage you. He won't let you go. He's not going to let you die in the vine. We're too precious to him. Let's get this together. And let's really, you know, right now, what God, this war in the heavenlies, what are we singing? We're bringing, tearing down principalities, bringing forth righteousness. And this is where God wants to be the whole body of Christ. Get rid of your sins and bring righteousness into your life and then speak it into others' lives. That's where we're at. He's trying to get the body of Christ totally holy. Not 90% holy, but total holiness in us. You can live that way. You can truly live in righteousness and holiness. And don't tell me you can't. Like I said before, I told God one time, I can't carry this. This assignment's too hard. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So you can become holy and you can become righteous. You just don't want to yet. There's just some things in your life you like and you're holding on to them. So I'm just hearing God say self-forgiveness is one of those. You can forgive yourself, but you won't forgive yourself because it brings you some sort of pleasure. You have a reason to poor me thing. So what does the word tell you? You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. This is serious this morning. Really serious. God is getting ready to clean up the churches. He's getting ready to clean up the globe. He's getting ready to clean up the government. And he needs leaders that he can place in those places who are walking in holiness and righteousness. You saw what they did to Jesus in his pictures? It doesn't near compare to what you fuss about. So if Jesus did all that for you, why can't you go through a little bit of pain and sorrow for somebody else? Well, I deserve. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. Jesus paid it all. And you're a vessel that he's working through. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you for those who came out this morning. And God is saying that some of you have some very rough edges that he wants to hone down this morning, wants to smooth them out, so that when you go forth to do his bidding, that those rough edges won't destroy lives, but the smooth edges will bring the multitudes to Christ. And Father God, I just thank you for those who came out. I thank you, you knew exactly who was going to be here. And Father God, this message is for them. Open up all of our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes and our spiritual understanding. Let us see and hear and understand what you're trying to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this War in the Heavenlies because that's what God was talking about. Daniel 12:1 said, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of what? Trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. God said, Michael's going to stand up, and when he does, a time of trouble such as never was seen before is going to happen. What are we in right now? We've never seen this junk before, have we? And God's saying it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. And God is saying he's been making each one of you a strong, strong, strong tower that won't wobble. It won't topple. It won't fall down. And others will be able to run into your strong tower and be saved. God said, what is going on in the heavenlies? It's a question. No, that's not a question. It's an explanation, all right? What is going on in the heavenlies is what my people should be asking. See, and that, you know, like I said, God had me study this thing out. And I was saying, God, what's really going on in the heavenlies? Because all we hear about is just all joy, 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 joy. But see, God has battle plans too. He has courtrooms. He has different areas up in heaven. So it's just not all singing. There's work to be done. Instead, they are walking around wringing their hands over the darkness upon the earth. They're saying, God, what's really going on up there? What are you really doing? Is there anything that I can help you do? Say, we're just talking about the darkness. Satan, and God says, Satan is trying to steal America. the White House, your families, your houses of worship, your president, your faith, your love, your resurrection power, anything he can get his hands on. And God said, we crossed over and went into resurrection power in 2023. Satan's already trying to steal that. Revelation 12:7 says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See that? Satan had a following up in heaven. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. God gave me this scripture here exactly 5 years ago. I looked it up. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. God gave me that scripture then, and along with that scripture, he said, the enemy is going to take the majority of my people to his kingdom. Because my people do not know my word. This is why God has us teach the word here, the truth. And that truth is setting you free. And that truth is supposed to be making you a strong tower. And Isaiah 14:12 says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He was making himself God, wasn't he? Yet, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan isn't going to win anything, and he hasn't been winning anything. The only thing he can win is what you allow him to take from you. Are you listening to this? If you don't allow him to take it, he can't take it. It's your property. This is your vessel. You have authority over it through Christ Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. Now use it. All right, so I said we are in warfare, and it is a fight to the finish. Ephesians 6:10 says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. This is in the Message Bible. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. He's saying, God's given you the best weapons there are, now use them. God told me a couple years ago the reason why the body of Christ is losing is because they are not using every weapon that he has given them. Then he started emphasizing love. And he started emphasizing the blood of the Lamb. And see, we are not using those two weapons enough. You know, we sort of concentrate on the other weapons, but love, without love, nothing happens, right? Without the blood of the Lamb, nothing happens. Those are two of the biggest weapons. You need to start using those to set the captives free. All right, verse 12 said, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we will walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. Can you say amen to that? This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued. so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Remember that time God told me the devil was going to come and he was going to turn me every which way but loose? But when he was finished, I'd be standing on my feet facing God, praising him. And right there's a scripture to back that up. Why could I do that? Because he put me through hell. Because I used the weapons. I knew I used the authority that God had given me. I knew who I was in Christ. And I knew, see, God forewarned me that I was going through this battle. And God said, he can do everything but kill you. And he kept telling me, I'm going to kill you. And I said, oh, no, you're not. See, I listen to what God tells me, then I use it when I'm in battle. A lot of you don't even listen to your prophetic words. You hear it here and you forget about it. But you need to listen to them because in there is the ammunition you need to defeat the enemy. All right, then verse 14 said, truth, righteousness, peace, faith. These are some of your weapons. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I thought that was exciting in verse 18. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. The body of Christ is, we are so guilty of trying to get one up on somebody. There's so much jealousy in the body of Christ. And this is not God. We should, if somebody gets promoted, we should be giving them a party. We should be, they say, this is absolutely wonderful. And mean it from the very depths of our soul, not just doing it to look good. But we don't do that. And then if somebody's down, do we pick them up? No, we kick them while they're down. And that's, you know, the church is supposed to be a hospital. And a hospital, well, you know, the Christian hospital are supposed to be healing, not killing. So what do? When somebody's down, do you kick them? Or do you pray for them? What does the Bible say? We're to pray for those who despitefully use us, right? You say, what does the body of Christ say? Well, they deserve it. What do you deserve? Yeah, think, what do you deserve? You know, God said, those who use you and abuse you, you're supposed to pick them up. Isn't that what Jesus did? We still today, we put Jesus back on that cross. We still put him through the whippings because we do not agree with him. We agree with what the world has to say. A war in heaven continues today over truth, righteousness, peace, faith, unity, love, and salvation is what I said. A war in heaven. Where is it at? In heaven continues today over truth, righteousness, peace, faith, unity, love, and salvation. God said, I have been asking my children to come up hither so they can witness firsthand the activity of the heavenly host. There is a warfare going in the heavenlies. This warfare is tearing down principalities, yes, but it is also preparing the way for the greatest harvest the church has ever seen and the second coming of my son, Jesus. The adversary is fighting against every plan I have for this great harvest. I have called you forth to be partakers in this fight for the souls. Now let me stop and ask you this. You know, in Job, it says that the angels came before Job, but Satan came before God. But then Satan came before God also. The angels were getting instructions, but Job was there looking for somebody he could kill. And it says it's Satan can go to heaven, as you know, back and forth to heaven all he wants. So why don't we go to heaven, like back and forth to heaven, like God is saying, so we can get our instructions straight from the feet of Jesus and come out of there victorious? I know I was reading an article about Kat Kirsch. She said she just had an encounter with God. It was the most powerful encounter she's ever had. Now, why aren't we having encounters with God? I jokingly said I'm going to dye my hair pink, but you know that that's a gifting that God gave Kat Kerr, all right, was to continually sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, God has been asking us to come up hither, right? He's asking us to come up into the third heaven. Now, I'm still amazed at that because some people there say there's only three heavens. But I studied before, but was also studying this week, where there's 7 to 10 heavens. And God told me one day, I want you to come to the seventh heaven. So I believe that there's at least 7. Let's not limit God. Let's not limit, you know, what man has to say. Let's hear what God has to say. Each one of you sitting here today can walk in purity of heart, and you can go back and forth to the throne room anytime you want to. As Gabriel was saying something to me the other day, he said, well, the reason why you can't walk on water, I wouldn't have faith for something. But I think that's why we don't go to heaven as often as God wants us to. We can't quite believe, can I really do this? I think there's a little bit of doubt there. And that little bit of doubt will stop us from, and God invites us every service, come up hither. Come up hither. He wants to sit, wants us to sit at the feet of Jesus and be instructed in the truth. Can you imagine what that would be like? I know I go to heaven. I just can't remember what happens. I know I do. But can you imagine what it's like sitting there in front of Jesus with all that anointing? All that power and authority vibrating into your spirit, man. Think about that. I mean, I know I go to heaven. I don't know what it's doing because I come back. I'm full of the anointing. I know when I go and I know when I come back. But God always accomplishes something when you go. All right. I'm really encouraging each one of you this morning. I've been there. I've done it. I don't teach anything I haven't been through. So, you know, I've been through all this stuff and I know it happens. That God said in this dispensation right now, guys, the raising of the dead is going to become really popular. Now, see, God's allowed me to raise the dead. So I'm telling you, you can do that. You can attain that. I had one stubborn guy. I spent 30 days in the hospital praying. He died 3 times and God sent him back. Did you have to go back? Because she's praying. So, you know, come on. If I can do it, you can do it. Because the Bible, the words in the Bible say anybody can do it. Any believer can do it. Not anybody. Any believer can do it. A mere God said, you just have to get your priorities straight. Now, Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. When I was very first born again, God gave me that scripture. I didn't know he was telling me I was in the battle now, that I was now, you know, thrust into the battle that's going on in the heavenlies. But from the days of John the Baptist came on the earth the same time Jesus did, right? But John the Baptist was one that was leading the way for Jesus to come on the scene. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That means we just can't sit around saying, oh, you know, Jesus, you go ahead and do this thing. We've got to stand up, and we've got to tell that devil where he has to go. He has to know, and you know, and the devil told me one time, because I've had many conversations with the devil, he said, I know when the people really mean what they say. He said, a lot of people say things that they don't even mean, and I can continue to harass them. So I've told you over and over again, the devil has to know that you mean what you say, or don't even say it at all, because you're just wasting your breath. You're not going to steal my marriage 2 hours later. You're fighting. He knew that you didn't mean that, you know? So if you're going to tell the devil something, you better be able to back it up. Come on. All right, so you all know I've been sick. I know I was dying a couple of times. I said, devil, you're not taking my life. I'd stand up in the sick bed, you know, stand up. You're not taking my life. God said, you can't kill me. My life started coming back into me again. But if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be here today. Are you listening? He knows and I know that I mean business when I speak. I'm not playing games with him because he's too crooked. You know, he can bring some crooked things against you. So what do you, you know, you guys, when you tell the devil something, mean it. Mean it and stand on it. All right, this war in heaven reminds us that for our struggle is not with, it says in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the rulers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits, where? In the heavens. The battle for our world is bigger than the trials and tribulations that surround us. Do you understand that? I believe there is no surprise that we live in a broken world with a lot of confusion and hurt. But this war in heaven also reveals our future hope. The hopeful part of this entire picture is that the child has overcome the dragon. In Revelation 12:13, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. In Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who is you and I, all right, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Right there it tells you that the devil's after you. So why do you get so upset? Come on. There is a storm coming, and it will get the world's attention. Our prayers are being answered, and as exposure is being realized, the devil is throwing a fit. These are things that I'm saying, all right, that God revealed to me. The last thing the devil wants is exposure of his evil schemes. Yet God's will is being done just as it is in heaven, and that means hidden things are coming to light for all to see. I'm telling you, if you're doing something in darkness, you better quit because it's going to be revealed. Somebody told me, you're just telling yourself all the time, you need to quit doing that. I don't have a closet. That devil's not going to come and pull anything out of my closet. I just can tell him myself. What's the word say? It's rather you fall on a rock than have the rock fall on you. And I just go and tell you this is who I am, and this is what I messed up in, you know. And the devil can't go around to me and say, you know what she does. You know, that's the way your life has to be open. And open books that the devil doesn't have any page he can pull out and use against you. All right? God will use his church to execute supernatural events on this earth. We are the church. It is not a building with a cross on it. God's church is equipped and designed to move in power and authority, destroying the works of the evil. 1 in 1 John 3:8, the greater one, Jesus, lives inside of us in the same authority he has. We don't act like that. We don't act like Jesus lives inside of us. We don't act like we have the same authority that Jesus has. Here, you want a glass of wine? Sure, why not? Drink yourself silly and I'll take you to hell. Here, you want some marijuana? Yeah, I'll take some. See, the power, if Jesus lives inside of you and his power lives inside of you, say, why would I take that dumb junk? Here's a cigarette, puff on it. Take you right to hell. You see what I'm saying? But we do that. We take the things that he offers us and we don't tell him no. We don't tell him no. It's just food. You know, you know you should be fasting, or you know that you know you shouldn't be eating as much as you are, and then somebody will give you this great big plate of stuff, and they say, here, and you say, oh, that really looks good. I think I'll eat that. You know, you just messed yourself up. You should have said, no, I'm not eating right now. You know? You know, gluttony take you to hell, too. It's in the Word. So, you know, let's not say, well, they're on drugs. Well, you're a glutton. You're on food. Come on. All right, it is the responsibility of the church, not the government, schools, or any other organization to change our environment using the spiritual weapons God has given us. See, it's the church's responsibility. We are no longer going to linger inside of a church building, but we are being launched into this world to bring life, hope, and rescue to those trapped in deep darkness. We're all sitting inside of four walls. We're not doing anything. And God wants us out there on the street. He wants us to let the people see the power of Jesus. You know, if you go into a restaurant, wherever you're at, he wants to be magnified, Jesus does, through you. We're in a restaurant, we're fighting with our kids, we're cussing, slapping them, telling them to sit down, shoving food in their mouth, this and that and the other, and say, oh, would you like to go to church with me on Sunday? I don't think so. I have that. I don't have to go to church and worry about what I'm doing. Right? Or you claim to be a Christian and you get road rage. You know? And you have Jesus loves me or something on your bumper sticker. You know, we're not showing the true Jesus. When somebody does that road rage thing to me, I think, what is wrong with you? I hadn't done anything wrong. I guess I just wasn't going fast enough or something. But just act like fools. Yes, Teresa, I'm talking about you. Come on. No, I'm not really. She doesn't get excitable on the road, though. Okay, so the church is changing, and here are some things we can expect to see in the face of the changing church. Supernatural authority and the fear of the Lord. God's been promised me that is commended to church. Supernatural boldness and wisdom. Supernatural love and supernatural love and compassion, supernatural power. These are the things the enemy is trying to stop. God is saying that we're supposed to be walking in the supernatural this year. I don't see much of that. I know this is just January, but come on, then it'll be just February, then it'll be just March, you know, and you're still not walking in supernatural. We need to determine, I'm going to walk in the supernatural, I'm going to raise the dead, I'm going to make the blind, you know, you see the blind eyes open, whatever it is, and then see it. The Bible is real. Whatever God writes in that word, you can do. When God first called me into ministry, I think for the first 40 years, what I was doing was evangelizing, and I was really, the church was full of leaders. He would bring leaders in when he invited me, and God was telling them of their sins. And I was preparing the way for Jesus, and by God was using me to try to get the church cleaned up. And so I said the other night, I said, well, God, okay, so I know that dispensation of time is over. What are you going to use me for in this dispensation of time? He said, miracles. Catherine Kuhlman, miracles. Church, wouldn't you like to carry the Catherine Kuhlman anointing? Because this is where God is at right now. And just by walking, you know, she's just walk out of her hotel room and people would all fall out in the spirit and be healed of whatever. This is where we're at. We are in the miraculous. Are you ready to step into that? You can't have sin in your life. Can't have no mixture. Come on. Yet we've had this sign up here since we started the church. And I don't think people, I think they think it just covers a crack in a door or something. But it really doesn't. It's a sign and a wonder. God said, put that up there. It's before your eyes. I think a lot of people just skip around and don't see it and make it a blind spot, you know. That is the way the church is. I know. I've lost my place. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness of people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. How many years ago did God give us that sign? Give us that word. It was for the Lighthouse Church. But most of them don't believe that. It says, rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. 5 years ago, at least. We had the glory risen upon us 5 years ago at least, and we're still saying, where's the glory? Where's the glory? Where's the glory? We got it 5 years ago. And see, and once you get it, then you have to walk in it. You have to walk in the newness of life. You just can't, oh, that's a nice scripture. No, we've been there. Come on, Lighthouse. Are you going to get there? Yeah, I mean, I know you heard that, and we made it time so you could see it before your eyes all the time, but you don't walk in that. come on. Write that on the tablets of your heart. Paste it on your mirror in your bathroom or something until it gets done in your spirit. Remember you older guys, how we used to do that? Had the little cards right on, had them stuck all over the house, you know. Well, I took mine down because I don't need a card. It's written on my heart. And I live it. Maybe it's time you take your cards down and start pulling see what you really got down inside of here. All right, put your armor on. We have work to do. God is with us, for us, and accomplishes his will through us. So I said what? Put your armor on. We have work to do. God is with us, for us, and accomplishes his will through us. 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Every time I was in a twit, God would tell me the scripture. Every time. What does it say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God tells me he's seeking you. He wants to devour you. He wants to kill you. And he told us, we were going through a Job experience a couple years ago, and so we studied Job, and what did he do? Satan came before God, and he was looking for somebody, so God said, here, take Barbara, try her. Test her to the fullest. He did, you know? And then God said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know what God was telling me? You're not the only one in the boat. Quit your complaining. Many of my children are in the same boat that you're in, and they're walking through it. So I'm telling you this morning, you're not the only one in a mess. You're not the only one in the boat. There's many more around about you all over the world that's going through the same trials and tribulations that you're going through, but they are resisting the devil. And 2 Peter 3:13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Who's going to make this new heaven and new earth? It has to be us. We're here, right? We have to start walking in righteousness, and we have to bring the world into that righteousness walk and teach them of the truth of God's word. And the first thing you need is love as your foundation. I can offend people to drop of a hat, and I don't even know I'm even doing it. But that's good. Jesus offended everybody he walked in front of too. So if you offend people, don't get excited about it. Is that the Jesus in you? All you're doing is telling the truth. And the people can't stand the truth, so they get offended. Come on. So if they get offended with you and don't want to talk to you, that's all right. You might not have needed to hear what they have to say anyhow. That's not ignorant. Maybe your ears didn't need to be full of their junk if they can't stand the truth. All right, there's a battle going on in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities. That was going to be the end of my message, but then God spoke this. Do you think the devil is smarter than I am? Don't you think I have this figured out? Some of you don't know he has it all figured out yet. What is happening on earth in all nations is a reflection of what is going on in the heavenlies, where a war is raging, period. Satan's kingdom is divided, period. They are fighting against each other. Each has a view and opinion of what needs to be done, and they are at counter purposes to each other, period. They are accusing each other. Anarchy has arisen against Satan himself among his ranks. They have no wisdom and they have no plan. What natural truth or fact they have has been twisted to their own ideas. I was all finished. That's a lot of good stuff, isn't it? You know? The devil doesn't even know what he's doing. He's fighting his own self. Right? All right, then God goes on to say, Satan himself sowed this rebellion, anarchy, and chaos when he rebelled against God. Now he is reaping the harvest with his own followers. You watch what God's getting ready to do. Yeah. God said, quit looking at what is happening in the bleachers where the fights are breaking out. Get your eyes on the game on the field. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Quit looking at what is happening in the bleachers where the fights are breaking out. Get your eyes on the game on the field. It is a spiritual battle and the odds are not even. I have more players on the field, greater strategy, more troops in the fight. The game has already been called. Unite yourself with me and listen to my spirit. Return to my word and celebrate the victory. You're only watching a replay. Read that again. Unite yourself with me and listen to my spirit. Return to my word and celebrate the victory. You're only watching a replay. In the realm of the spirit, the game is over. Now we just have our eyes on the field, watching what's going on, and understanding that the devil is chasing his own tail. There's no way he can win, none, because God had it all planned out. Saints, we are really and truly headed for one of the greatest trips with God that any church has ever gone, you know, throughout the years. This is going to be a culmination of bringing everything to pass so that Jesus can come back again. God told me in this dispensation that we are now working on the second coming of Jesus. I don't know when he's going to come. I don't care when he's going to come. We're just supposed to keep on working until he does come. He's going to come like a thief in the night, you know. And I've seen where so many people have said he's going to come this year. He's going to come this year. He's going to come this year. You know, they have ears. I don't even bother reading that article because Jesus said nobody knows when the Father's coming back. So don't you go out there and tell people he's going to come back. You don't know. You just say we're going to work until he does come, and we're going to bring in the harvest. And we're going to see the stadiums full of the lost and see them being brought back to Christ. This is an exciting time to live in. I feel sorry for anybody who hangs on to sin. You are missing one of the biggest thrills of your life. You just don't understand the excitement. You know, and God's just been really talking to me and talking to me and giving me dream after dream. You know, when you're really right with God, you have a good relationship. You know, and he talks to you and gives you dreams and visions and even makes you sit and ponder, what are you doing, Lord? That's a good place to be. Because when you're pondering, what are you going to do, Lord? Then he starts explaining it to you and you say, wow. You know, because there's no way you can think up this stuff that he's telling us, you know. And this week as I was studying different things, when I first started, all the scriptures God gave me about how the leaders in the church were in sin, I read all of them. I said, this is all stuff you told me 40 years ago. And he was uncovering the sin of the church leaders then. You know, when I first became born again, God said, you're living in the days of Noah. And, you know, and so if we were living in the days of Noah then, we'd been living in the days of Noah for quite some time. And God's been trying to get the world cleaned up so that he can take the ark into the water. And take us on up into heaven. Where are you going to spend eternity? Everyone you sitting here this morning, you should be asking yourself that. So, my kids say, are you going to go to heaven? I said, I don't know. I really don't. Yeah, I might mess up at the last minute and the devil take my life. You know what I'm saying? We're not assured of that. God told me, he said, you have to walk out your salvation daily. He didn't say once saved, always saved. He didn't say that. Walk out your, I'm going to be teaching about some of that tonight. Walk out your salvation daily. And whoever tells you you can be saved and go out there and sin to your blue in the face, they're lying to you. That's a spirit of darkness and then it wants to take you to hell. You can't do that. I am so glad that I serve a God that won't let anybody do that. I've had enough of this junk here. I don't want to spend it in heaven with them. I mean, this is hell on earth right here. I want to go up there and fight in the heavenly wars. You know, that's going to be so much fun. So, okay, so where's your heart at today? And what are you doing with what God has given you?